This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Again, happy Thanksgiving. The time is 9:07. It is Thursday, November the 28th of 2024, Thanksgiving Day. And I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, glad we could be with you. Again, just for full disclosure, we're not actually doing a live show this morning, being the holiday, but we decided to record something up. We've added some new segments here with me and Ian to start and end each hour, and then we've added a few previous discussions. And basically, I'm using a football theme for this Thanksgiving because football is such a big part of our lives in the United States on Thanksgiving Day. A couple of football-based interviews in the middle of each of these hours. So, again, loosening it up. We're not getting overly serious here for our Thanksgiving Day edition of the Chad Holmes Show. And as I said, I am joined across the way by our in-studio engineer, our in-studio producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, again, a very happy Thanksgiving to you.
A very happy Thanksgiving to you too, Chen. Thanksgiving is all about the three F's: family, food, and football.
No kidding. And that is so very true. And again, it's great for this for folks here. I think they, for a lot of folks, it's in terms of holidays, we haven't had a holiday, I think, since Labor Day. There's really nothing else between Labor Day and Thanksgiving Day. So
was it for Halloween?
But I mean, a day where you get the day off from work, because Halloween, you don't get the day off from work. You still do it. And I think for a lot of people, it's wonderful to have, and many people take off Friday as well to make it for a very long Thanksgiving weekend. But these long weekends, people love the long weekends.
They certainly do.
So it's been a while since from early September now to late November. Now we get into a grouping where you have a number of holidays. You got Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Then you have, and this year it's kind of odd with Christmas and New Year's. They both land on Wednesday, right in the middle of the week.
Let me see.
Those are odd weeks where you have it right on a Wednesday. So it's going to be interesting to see how we handle things when we get towards Christmas and New Year's. But nevertheless, it's wonderful to be on a holiday. Wonderful to be with you. As I said to start off the show, we're very thankful for all of you that are tuned in both today and throughout the course of the year, because without you, they would definitely not keep us on the air. We need to have a few folks out there tuned in, and we appreciate you supporting us, supporting our show, supporting 98.9 WXCO, and supporting the Civic Media Radio Network. In the last hour, we talked a little bit. You and your family is a ham family instead of turkey. Mm-hmm. We also had part of our Thanksgiving trivia talking about the least favorite side dish being green bean casserole. What is your least favorite dish for Thanksgiving? Did you ever have anything like where maybe somebody else in your family loves it, but you're not really a big fan, so you still have to have it? Or is everything that you and your family have up to the Ian Welsh level of yumminess?
Well, she's pretty close up to my level. I think the only thing I'm not like a huge fan of on Thanksgiving is a stuffing. I'm not a stuffing person.
Oh, I love the stuffing. I love the stuffing, especially when it comes right from the bird. I mean, because when you cook it inside the bird, it has that moisture to it, and it makes it even better. I love stuffing. In fact, I enjoy getting together with my family. But back about 20 years ago or so, yeah, 2003 was actually, I spent a year in Southern California. Wow. And I moved out there for a year, and then I ran out of money and I moved back because it was pretty expensive living. And actually, I lived in a place right in Hollywood, I mean, right in the midst of it, all of it. And because a friend of mine from high school went out to California, actually, two friends of mine who I graduated with went out to California to try to work in the entertainment business. And one of my friends, and they actually were roommates, and then one of my friends moved out, and the other friend said, "Hey, you know," I was like bouncing around the walls a little bit. I was getting a little bit, you know, it's like I wanted something different, try to do something different. I was around here all the time. I said, "Come on out, you know, give it a shot. Let's see what you can do out here." So for a year, I went out there and tried to get into broadcasting, but unable to do so. But the thing about the point of this Thanksgiving story is my friend, and he still does it to this day. Now he's married, has a couple of kids, and he still has these big Thanksgiving celebrations. And he made the greatest Thanksgiving turkey, the greatest stuffing, the greatest vegetables, and everything else that goes along with it. And I, every year on Thanksgiving, I'm going to be, when I get done here today, going to send over a note saying, "Hey, I wish I was out there, because I know it's going to be one of those massive feasts." But the guy is the greatest chef when it comes to Thanksgiving. And I'm getting hungry just thinking about it right now. It's like, I mean, just outstanding. So, again, you can do it with the family, but also a lot of folks do get together with friends and have a special get-together where groups of families get together and have a big meal and a big, fun Thanksgiving. So I think we all have those stories where you think back to wonderful Thanksgivings. And I think for a lot of folks, as we get older, as I get now into my early to mid-50s, you think back to the people that are not here yet.
Yeah.
Your grandparents, my grandparents have passed away. My grandparents used
my
to make
grandparents as well.
Yeah, wonderful Thanksgiving meals and that and the like of that. So again, I mean, that's one of the great things about holidays. You think back to the wonderful people that have been in your life, in addition to the folks you're spending the holiday with. So again, that's something to be thankful for, those wonderful people that you remember fondly and remember and who have passed on. But what's the old saying? You're still alive as long as people remember, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's like, and I think that's very, very true. So
I do remember my grandpa, he had this silly Thanksgiving tradition he liked to do where he would have these styrofoam cups, and he would have like them. He had them labeled with all the names of the family members, so that everybody would have their own cup for drinking, and nobody would get it mixed up. He would put our names on it, but he would also make these really funny drawings of our faces on it, of, you know, how he thinks that we look like. It was very cartoonish, but, you know, just looking back on it now, it was very sweet and just one of the great memories I have with my grandpa.
That's fantastic. Again, yeah, I think there's so many aspects to Thanksgiving and holidays itself. So again, we're just very happy that you are with us here today, and glad you can tune in, and hopefully you can continue to tune in as we continue each and every weekday from 8 till 10 a.m. here on 98.9 WXCO.
Now, here's a popular Thanksgiving question. Which do you prefer? A cranberry sauce or cranberry jam?
That's a good one. I like the cranberry jam for whatever reason.
I like the cranberry sauce that comes in the can. It's got that funny shape to it, 'cause it's pretty tasty. But I know there's a lot of people who, you know, some prefer the sauce, some prefer the jam, and some people just like a combination of both.
Absolutely. We got a couple of minutes here. We had some trivia questions last hour. Do you want to try a few more? You're off to a good start there. Right? 4 out of 5, I think it was. Man, oh man.
4 out of 5.
You got this one. Thanksgiving trivia. What movie holds the record for the highest grossing weekend in Thanksgiving history?
What movie?
This is a hard one. Again, I'm not.
Well, that makes you think, though, because it. It could either be a Thanksgiving movie or a Christmas movie.
Well, I mean, but it doesn't mean it's a Thanksgiving-based movie, but it just means it was released on Thanksgiving weekend. Actually, let me hear. I'm going to give you a couple of choices here. I'm going to give you three choices.
Okay.
I'm going to give you two choices.
Okay.
One choice, because these were both very popular Thanksgiving movies. One, Toy Story 2, and one, Frozen 2.
I'm going to say Toy Story 2.
Actually, the reason I think that Frozen 2 is higher grossing because it was released after, because Toy Story 2 was released back in 1999. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the amount of money that people paid to get into a movie back then was a lot less. So it's actually Frozen 2 is the highest grossing Thanksgiving movie in history. All right. Let me find a better one here for you.
Okay.
How many calories are in a typical holiday dinner?
Definitely going to need a multiple choice on this one.
All right. I'll give you the choice. Is the correct answer 1,000 calories, 3,000 calories, or 5,000 calories?
Oh, just for the fun of it, I'm going to say 5,000.
3,000.
Oh, that was I was going to say three, but then I switched.
Hey, I'm going to give you. What is an adult female turkey called?
Ooh. Oh, boy.
You're going to say, oh, I should have known that when I give you the answer.
That's a good question, but I don't know.
A hen.
Oh.
All right. This is a fun one. Mm-hmm. What is an adult male turkey called? When people say turkeys in the, if you say a name of a turkey, if a turkey had a first name for a guy, what would turkey's first name be?
Oh gosh, this is
because that's.
Oh my gosh, I.
All right, Tom Turkey.
Oh.
An adult male turkey is called a Tom. That's why you call him Tom Turkey.
I have to remember that if somebody asked me that. So that's a good trivia question.
There you go. Got a little harder here in our second group of Thanksgiving trivia questions.
That's okay. It was still fun.
It is. So maybe somebody learned a little something as well. Hey, we're going to continue. Coming up later, we still have our daily history lesson and our number for the day quiz with Ian.
Oh, yes.
So stick around. That will be coming up at the end of the show. Again, number for the day. May have to find some sort of Thanksgiving realm. I don't know what it is yet. But we're going to come back, have more Thanksgiving edition, Chad Holmes Show 98.9 WXCO. Winter.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Thanksgiving Thursday, and again, lots of football. The Bears and the Lions will get things underway at 11:30. The Giants and the Cowboys after that, and then the Packers and the Miami Dolphins tonight at Lambeau Field on NBC. And today, focusing a lot on football. In the first hour, we had a chance to talk to Mosinee head football coach Kyle Stoffel. Here in hour number two, going to hear a conversation that I had last week along with Jason Foster, the former Wausau West coach, with DC Evers head football coach Braden Mitchell. First year for Coach Mitchell at DCE in a terrific campaign as the Evergreens made it all the way to the state semifinals. And we started things off by saying congratulations on an outstanding season.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a fun ride.
Last time we were with you, it was right after the Stevens Point game, and obviously that set you up in terms of the conference. Since then, a lot has happened, and I want to kind of start with when you got a number 7 seed. Obviously, as the conference champions, I imagine that was a bit of a surprise. So what was the thought process when you're sitting there watching the bracket reveal and seeing your number 7?
Yeah, it was definitely disappointing, but we kind of had the whole group together. We were expecting an awesome event. You know, we had everybody together. We had breakfast together and then watched the reveal show. So, you know, there was obviously some guys upset, and we allowed for about 30 seconds to be upset. And then it was, hey, this is the hand we're dealt. Let's go roll with it. And I think it was huge for our guys to kind of just kind of have that mindset of like, hey, this is how they viewed us. This is where they put us. And now we get to go prove everybody wrong. And I think they kind of use that each week as like, hey, we don't forget that there's a 7 next to our name every game that we go play. And I thought that was huge for our guys.
Yeah, it's interesting because that completely screwed up, obviously, as Chad and I have talked about many times on this, the whole system, and certainly in your situation. But not to rip off any scabs, but other than, like, I think you used it as great motivation for you guys, but the all of the levels of disrespect, right? Like, we just beat Spash and we're conference champions behind them, and Chippewa Falls with not a very good record and being across the way behind them. Hudson, I mean, it was just kind of, it was great. I hope your success this year, I don't know what the heck the algorithm is or what it means, but I hope the success you guys had this year allows for maybe that to tip this way, generally speaking. The one thing I hate about the formula, and it never has made any sense to me, is that they reference past playoff success, which is so, I mean, whatever. You're Stratford, you're Edgar, you go every year, I get it. But like, that team's gone, it doesn't matter. But if we're going to use it, I hope what you guys did this year. And for me, congratulations. It was awesome. You were a transition, right? And it was very different forever. So I'm very, very happy for you that you were able to come in and do that and take them to this level where they haven't been in a minute. But then I also, like, we talk a lot. We've talked a little bit about it. We've been talking about it for years in this area, that we need to improve football in this area. And I think you guys took a really nice step towards that this year. So talk about how you, I'll give one more anecdote before I ask the question, but Xavier's brother, Keaton, teaches at Wausau West now and coach football for us. And it was one of the earlier games a couple weeks ago. I was talking to him in school on Friday and asked him if he was coming down to, or going down to the game, and I couldn't make it, but he asked if I was. I said I'd be watching it. And he kind of sheepishly asked, do you hope they win? I'm like, yeah, of course we hope they win. Like, they're representing Wisconsin Valley Conference. Yeah. They're the only one left. So knowing that, like, do you guys talk about that as a team, that at that point, obviously you're DC Everest, you're winning for DC Everest, but as a group, we talk about it a lot at perimeter camp and stuff, that we are trying to improve football in this area, and that did you guys kind of take that as part of your responsibility as well, or part of your load moving forward, that you were representing our part of the state?
Yeah, I think, like, as a staff, we kind of talked about that a little bit. You know, we had mentioned, like, now at this point, the conference was 3-3 going into that last game. And so there was a little bit of that. But I remember sitting here back in April when we had that first one. Yeah. And that was kind of a thing that we talked about, was that, hey, we want to get football in this area. We want to have some success in the playoffs. And we can control our part of that. But we know, like, hey, the football that's played here is really well, done really well, that we do a really good job up here. But for whatever reason, there hadn't been that success in the postseason. And so it was huge for, I think, probably more as a staff for us to kind of think about that and put that on us. I think for the players, like, it was about, hey, what can we do?
Right.
And again, that was something that this group, when we had our leadership meetings in the spring and stuff, was a goal that they put on their list. Hey, we want to win in the playoffs. It had been a while since Everest had done it. It had been a while since, you know, somebody from the Valley Conference had won not against another conference opponent. So it was a goal and something in the back of our mind all year, and we were able to do it.
I'm glad you remember talking to me back in April. That's impressive. I feel really, I feel a million bucks right now.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking to Braden Mitchell, head football coach at DC Everest, here on the Big High School Sports Show. Obviously, teams want to be playing their best football at the end, and judging by, you know, you beat the number two seed, the number three seed, and the number one seed all on the road, and all in impressive fashion. Would it be fair to say that in that three-game run, and even going to obviously playing a very good Bayport team, that your team was playing its best football of the season when it really counted?
Yeah, I think, it was huge. The Chippewa Falls game kind of was the one that turned the deal for us. And really, that second half, when we kind of realized, like, hey, how good can we be? We had to battle back and had a shot there at the end against them. And then to roll that into Spash, which is, you know, going to be a big rivalry game. It was for the conference championship, and to be able to battle back and do everything that we needed there, I think it just kind of set us up that, like, hey, when we do things the way that we're supposed to, we can be really good. And I think each week, just kind of using that and continuing to build and build and build. I think our defense just throughout the whole year continued to improve and get better and better. And then offensively, like we were very fortunate with a lot of great players offensively that we knew that, hey, as long as the offensive staff could put together a good game plan, that those guys would go out there and execute it.
And you kind of hit it on the head how you guys competed through those three wins. But talk about the loss against Bayport. Like, same thing, right? You guys competed right up to the very end. And did all of those things build off each other and kind of put you guys in a position to have that type of game against Bayport?
Yeah, I think seeing, you know, how competitive we can be, how we can battle, how we can beat teams that are supposed to be better than us. We never felt like we were out of that game. Like, there was a point where it was 34-10, and we didn't feel like we were out of it. We knew that, hey, it's going to be a tall task, but, you know, getting the onside kick out of halftime was huge for us. After we were able to go down and score, get another onside kick. And that was, you know, Jake Stasniak had been doing that all year in practice. Like, he's been showing that he has that ability. So we were, hey, we were backs against the wall. We got to rally and go get it. And I think, you know, our guys used that kind of mentality throughout the whole playoffs. We kind of talked going into week one against Hudson, you know, the burn the boats. Was kind of our theme going into the playoffs, that, hey, there's no turning back. We get off those buses like, hey, well, the only way home is back on their buses, and that's how we have to do it. And the guys really bought into that and really kind of took it as their own and made it a big thing. So
we'll have more with head coach Braden Mitchell of DC Everest coming up next here on the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Can you feel it? It's a holiday. It's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Thursday, 2024. And also, you can feel it when you have momentum. And for sports teams, you feel it. You feel it building. You feel it building throughout a course of a season. And one team that we saw this season that was building that momentum, and it took them all the way to a state semifinal in high school football, was DC Everest. And again, myself and former Wausau West head football coach Jason Foster recently had a chance to talk after the season came to an end with the DC Everest head football coach Braden Mitchell. Again, just a fantastic first year for Coach Mitchell as the head man at DC Everest. And we were talking about the playoff run that Everest made. They had to win three consecutive road games in order to make it to the state semifinals, where they fell against Bayport. But I asked Coach Mitchell about that first game when DC Everest came in as a number 7 seed, traveled to number 2 seeded Hudson, and then just was able to roll past the Hudson Raiders and start that run in the playoffs. So that's where we started as we continue our conversation with DC Everest head football coach Braden Mitchell. What was really the cool key in that Hudson game right away? Because obviously, I don't think we've talked about before the game. I mean, for 7-2, it was not a 7-2. It could have been at steam very easily.
Yep.
But the way your team did dominate that game, what was it about that performance that really was a key? Because, again, I think when you looked at it, not surprised you'd won, but the way you did it, what was the big key in that game?
I think defensively was huge. They're really good at what they do. They kind of run that power read stuff, and so we had to have a really good game plan going into that. And I remember You know, that was a Saturday after the reveal show. Staff was all together and kind of the players went home and it was like, all right, let's get this film and let's get going. And myself and a couple of the defensive staff and a couple of the offensive guys as well, we sat there all day Saturday kind of dissecting the film. Okay, how are we going to stop this? And I think that was a huge thing. I know offensively we were able to put enough things in place to be good and continue offensively, but our game plan going into that defensively, I think, was huge, and being able to stop their quarterback run stuff and their power read option stuff that they were really good at and had success with. And then, yeah, I think we kind of hit a little run where we scored, got an onside, and went back. And at high school level, like, it's tough to kind of stop the momentum once we had it going.
Right.
I remember being at the – West played Wanakee, level one, and yep. I remember being in Wanakee and Wanakee did a great job of updating those scores on their Jumbotron. Yeah. Like, they had dispatched – all the games from our section were in there, and it constantly, from the first quarter on, were updating them. And as I watched you guys just kind of start rolling Hudson and then watched us playing Wanakee, I mean, at that point, to me, it was like Everett's going to walk through all of these guys, because I don't know. I walked left that game thinking, holy cow, West let one get through their hands, and yeah, that's a game they could have won. And knowing how well you guys were playing. So I think that's part of it, right? Like, one of the most exciting things about this postseason, and I'm talking about you guys because we lost in level one, but was playing these different teams and playing Absolutely. Teams from different parts of the state, and knowing that there's such a mental component to it, right? The Kimberleys, the Appleton Norths, the Ninas, what they've done to us over the years. So to go play people without that in there and just seeing fresh faces and new stadiums, honestly. Yeah. You guys went on the road for all of them and playing some different places. And so just kind of talk to that a little bit, like how – And you're kind of new, so you haven't played a ton of these teams or the Fox Valley teams in that area. But as a program, going and playing some new teams, that had to be kind of refreshing, because your staff has kind of been around for a long time, many of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's definitely kind of, you know, in their heads a little bit with the conference to the east of us and what they've done in the playoffs. And so I think that was a big part of it. Like, hey, we got to go to Hudson, Madison Memorial, and Wanakee, places that we hadn't been to, hadn't played. So we didn't have any, you know, hey, last year this happened. You know, it was, hey, Nina, we knew what they did to us the year before. Like, if we had to cross over with them, there was going to be kind of that mental aspect of things. Where these guys, it was all about, hey, what have they shown on film? And, you know, sometimes it's tough to really gauge, and you get into a game and you're like, wow, that kid looks a lot better now than he did on film. But I think just, having that ability to game plan off of that and kind of seeing a full season's worth of games and kind of, okay, what are teams good at? What is their base? What are they trying to get to? And not really have any preconceived, like, this is what they've done in the past, but just look at who they have now and that ability. And then, that's when it became fun, and filling up the whiteboard with the game plan and what are we going to try to do? What are we getting after? It was a lot of fun.
And even to some extent, Bayport was kind of the same way, right? Like, it would probably have been different going and playing Nina or Kimberly in that. And obviously, Bayport's great and it's won a state championship now and going back. But I think that even when I saw that, as soon as I saw it was Bayport and that one, I was like, I think they can beat Bayport. Like, it was just kind of fun to watch those kind of unfold that way. And some years that's just what it is, right? Oh, yeah. Like, it's kind of it's where you fall and the mindset. And it was a great run for you guys.
Yeah. Well, and that's what, like, thinking about it, like, this is as far as I've been as a coach, right? Making it this far. And I've always thought, like, man, like, to make it to the semis or whatever it is. And then you're in it and it's kind of like, hey, I'm just trying to win the next game. Mm-hmm. Like, as long as I can just win this game and not make it about having to win three or four, like, right. And that's kind of where we found ourselves every Saturday, was like, all right, like, put on the tape and, hey, I think we got a shot here. Like, we've got a chance. And, yeah, I mean, we fell 7 points short, but I think going into it, we were like, hey, if we can do X, Y, Z, then, hey, we've got a shot. And we did X and Y, just couldn't quite finish it off.
End of your first year. And obviously, it's always going to be, no matter what happened, it was going to be a special year, taking over a program like DC Everest. But to work with the seniors that you did, and for that group to lead, I guess a good word would be a renaissance for DC Everest football. What does this group of seniors mean to you? And I imagine this will be a group of seniors that kind of sticks with you for a very long time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this will be a special group. I remember telling my wife probably in the summer, like, gosh, I wish that this senior group was almost juniors. Like, I wish that I almost had 1 year to get things established and then a year with these guys. But I don't think I would ask for any other group. They were instrumental in all of this and, you know, led a lot of it. The leadership group that we put together, the senior captains, what they did and how they kind of led this and just allowed this group to come together, I think was huge. You know, at the high school level, there's so many different groups of kids and so many different variables that go into it. Mm-hmm. And I think their ability to kind of capture everybody and get everybody bought in, from the freshmen that we pulled up to dress and to be on scout team, to the juniors that didn't play a whole lot, but we needed them there. I think to incorporate them all and what they were able to do was outstanding.
I don't envy the decision you have to make, because obviously one of the things that you have to make a choice of is the senior that you nominate for the Bryn Brockmeyer Award.
Yeah.
Here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to ask you who it is, but yeah. I know you have some very, very good choices in
yes,
the back
absolutely.
Of the seniors.
You had mentioned that, and I know you were talking a lot about the relationships and all the little things that go into making them a special group, but when you said you'd like one more year with them, I think there's a lot of coaches in our area who would take an extra
yes.
year with that group of kids that you
yeah,
coached this
absolutely.
Year. And the one question I had, and I apologize ahead of time because I don't remember exactly, where were you before you came, not before you came to Everest, but before you came to Wisconsin, where were you?
In Utah.
Yep. So talk a little bit about how your experience, or just what is high school football like in Utah? And is there much of a difference? Is it pretty similar? What has been your experience being in two completely different places like
that? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of different things. I mean, football is football, right? I think one of the big differences is just the different types of offenses and defenses that you see out here. Like, you can go week to week and see a wing T, see a spread, see a power eye, like all the different kind of offenses out here, where in Utah it's gotten to a lot more of just the spread. I think the biggest thing that I kind of could take away from what I did in Utah and what I grew up in Utah was we were in a top classification out there. They go by the 5A, 6A. So when I was there, we were 6A team, but we were one of the smaller ones. And, you know, we kind of had to scrap and claw to make playoffs and to make a run or anything like that. And there was a couple years as an assistant that we had won a couple playoff games. But I think I was able to take, like, hey, what we had to do to even have any success there, and now mesh that with a really good group of guys that we had and a really good staff that we had. It kind of allowed us, especially going into these playoff games, kind of, hey, I've done this in the past. We've ran this play in the past. We've had this package kind of in my back pocket a little bit to be able to pull out in these big games. And, you know, I think when we can blend, hey, the type of things that I've had to do because we just didn't have the dudes, and now when you have a few dudes, it can be special like we had.
And I guess to wrap it up here is we have a hard break at the top of the hour, so I actually have to get out of here. But
yeah.
As you look forward, obviously, whenever you have a great group of seniors, that means you have to replace a great group of seniors. What is the outlook for DC Everest in 2025?
Yeah, I mean, it'll definitely be a different group. We had a lot of returning guys this year. But, you know, as you start to go through it, initially you're like, how are we going to replace Logan George? How are we going to replace Blake Bankston? How are we going to replace Brendan Peterson and those guys? And but then you start to look at who we have, and I know this junior class has a lot of just really good guys, right? There's not a ton of crazy talent or anything like that, but we've got like an Xavier Edwards who's been a 2-year starter up to this point, Silas Weber, who started at safety for us all year. We have, you know, a freshman, Chris Ferrario, who started all year for us, that lucky to have him for 3 more years. You know, we had 2 other juniors that started up front. So there's some pieces coming back, and then I think this junior class just has a lot of really good high school football players that'll be able to piece in. And then, yeah, we're going to have to get a little younger and find some guys in there too. But a lot of excitement with what this program and what this community provided this year, I think is exciting going into it.
Do you know who your quarterback is next year?
Yeah, I got a pretty good idea. It'll be Jake Stasniak. I mean, he did a heck of a job this year.
And what was it? That game he replaced Logan, what was it, like 9 for 10 or something like that?
Yeah, he had one incompletion, which was a throwaway. Like, he's going to be really good. You know, it'll be different. Right. Logan was a 2-year starter.
Yes, he was.
Even when I was at Spash, I had a 2-year starter with Riley. So it'll be a little bit different with having him. But he's prepared every week like it's his last, or like that it's going to be him. And so he'll be ready to go.
Well, thank you again for coming on by.
Appreciate it.
Braden Mitchell, the head football coach at DC Everest. Again, he was a guest just last week on the Big High School Sports Show that we have every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. here on 98.9 WXCO. If you've missed any of the interviews, so many really, I said it earlier, I'm really thankful to have the work that I do. that, number one, be able to do this show. Number two, be able to do all the high school play-by-play that I'm able to be very fortunate to do during the course of the year. And the big high school sports show as well, because one of the best parts of that is being able to sit down and have these longer form conversations with coaches and especially the student athletes as well. That's really, I mean, it's really fantastic to see these young people come in and sit down and be able to talk about their sports, talk about their teammates, talk about their favorite class, talk about the things they like to do when they're not on the court or involved in some of their extracurricular activities. So again, if it's something that you have not tuned into, I would encourage you to check us out on Wednesday nights from 6 till 8 p.m. And again, if you missed any of our conversations or our programs, you can also use it as a podcast. Again, we have a podcast of all of our programming, including the big high school sports show. So again, go to civicmedia.us and check out the shows, and also check out at WXCO.FM as well, because all of the previous broadcasts this season of the big high school sports show, and also this show, Chad Holmes show, is there. Plus, in addition, all of the other fantastic programs that you hear throughout the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network as well. So again, lots to be thankful for here on this Thanksgiving. Again, one of the things I'm thankful for is Ian Welsh, and he'll be joining me again coming up for our final segment. We'll have our daily history lesson, and we will have our number for the day. Yep, we will have our number for the day quiz with Ian Welsh. I'm sure we're going to make it a Thanksgiving-themed number for the day quiz, and we'll see whether or not Ian can figure it out coming up next. Again, happy Thanksgiving. Glad you could be with us. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Coming at you every Sunday, see the face on the billboard. Well, that man is me, on the cover of a magazine. There's no question why I'm smiling. You buy a piece of paradise, you buy a piece of me. I'll get you everything you wanted, I'll get you everything.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Along with Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. It is Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, the 28th day of November of 2024. That means it is day number... This is an interesting day, because we have... our number for the day should be three. But it's not. But it should be, because it is day number 333 of this year. And there are 33 days remaining. So five of a kind.
Wow.
333 days of the year so far, 33 days remaining.
That's pretty rare.
Good thing we're doing a show here on Thanksgiving. Because we would have missed it otherwise.
True.
But again, the 28th of November, and there's been some famous events that have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1895, the first American automobile race took place over the 54 miles from Chicago's Jackson Park to Evanston, Illinois. Frank Duryea won in approximately 10 hours. 54 miles to take 10 hours to win a car race. On this date in 1907 in Haverhill, Massachusetts, Louis B. Mayer opened his first movie theater. On this date in 1975, as the world turns and the edge of night, the last two American soap operas that had resisted going to pre-tape broadcasts aired their last live episodes. Up to then, they would actually do live shows each and every day. On this date in 1991, in a panic, a California turkey carver called the Butterball Turkey Talk Line and screamed there was no breast meat on his butterball.
Oh, jeez.
phone helper Jean Schnelly suggested he might have the bird upside down. She was right. On this date in 1995, President Bill Clinton signed a road bill that ended the federal 55-mile-per-hour speed limit. Boy, if you go 55 down the highway now, people think you're going really, really slow.
Sometimes you have to, especially when the weather's bad.
On this date in 2012, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, the first of the Hobbit film series, premiered in Wellington, New Zealand. Mm. Are you a fan of the Hobbit movies?
Oh, yes. I'm a big fan of the Hobbit movies. I read the book. I very much enjoyed the book. I'm a huge fan of the Lord of the Rings, too.
On this date in 2016, Hamilton set a new record for most money earned in a week on Broadway, $3.3 million. Have you ever seen Hamilton?
I actually have. My family and I actually watched it on Disney Plus.
Oh.
They had the whole show on there, which was surprising.
Wow.
One of the advantages of owning a streaming service.
There you go.
The only downside is I couldn't understand it because they were singing so fast. It's like I had to have the closed captions on to understand what they were saying.
Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Motown Records founder Berry Gordy Jr. is 93 years old. Actually, 95. Ed Harris of Top Gun Maverick is 74. Actor S. Epatha Merkerson from Law & Order is 72. Actor Judd Nelson is 65. Daily Show host Jon Stewart turned 62 years old today. Actor Mary Elizabeth Winstead is 40. Karen Gillan from the Jumanji films and Nebula in the Marvel films is 37. And Joel Cole, John Shelby on Peaky Blinders is 36 years old today. If you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO. Special events being celebrated today, there's only one that we're going to say. It's Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
That is the special event that we are going to be celebrating here today. Mm-hmm. But something, it may be Thanksgiving, it may be a holiday, but we will not push off the number for the day quiz. No matter whether a holiday or a normal weekday, we will have the number for the day quiz with Ian Welsh. And we always give Ian three different choices. And based on the math, he should get one out of three correct, 33%. Mm-hmm. That means that if he gets two out of five right, that's a passing week. If he has one out of five right, that's a failing week.
Not a good week.
If he gets three out of five right, it's a winning week because he gets more right than wrong. And the record so far is four out of five. And we're still looking for that perfect week.
Yes.
And again, we're pre-recording this show, so we actually don't know where you stand for this week at this point.
So this is like a fresh start.
Hopefully you're three for three. Hopefully you're still going for a perfect week. Boy, wouldn't that be exciting?
Extremely. Very exciting.
All right. Our number for the day.
Okay.
How many passengers were on the Mayflower?
How many passengers?
The Mayflower came to America, the pilgrims, and celebrated the first Thanksgiving. So when they came over from Europe, from England, how many passengers were on the Mayflower?
Okay.
Is the correct answer 42? Is the correct answer 72? Is the correct answer 102?
42, 72. Or 102.
How many passengers were on the Mayflower?
Oh, boy. pressure is really on.
It's on every day, though.
42, 72, or 102. Okay, I'm going to say I'm trusting my gut here.
Okay.
I'm going to say 42. I'm going with A. 42 is my final answer.
I will say,
lock it in.
I will say that it was not the middle number.
That's good.
But it was the big number.
Oh, it was 102. 102.
You needed 102. All right. Doggone it. But another chance tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Ian, have a great rest of your Thanksgiving.
You too, Chad. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
Yep, everybody.
Go Packers.
There you go. Go Pack tonight. We'll talk about the Pack and a whole bunch more tomorrow morning. Back from 8 till 10 a.m., the Friday edition of the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.